In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Feast of Pentecost in the Old Testament celebrated two things. It celebrated the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, but it also was sometimes referred to as the Feast of First Fruits. And on this day, in the reading in the Acts of the Apostles, we see how this was the beginning of the first fruits that Christ planted by his life, his teaching, his death, and his resurrection. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all of one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." What's the significance of the wind? Well, in Hebrew, the word for wind and the word for spirit is the same word. And we read about the spirit for the very first time in Genesis chapter 1 as it hovered over the waters when the world was without form and void before the creation began. And so we begin to see the new creation that takes place with the coming of the Holy Spirit in the church. Also, you might recall from Holy Week the dry bones reading that we read on Holy Friday evening. And in that reading, we read about this vision of a valley of dry bones that represent the people of Israel, and they're just dead bones. And then we read about how God miraculously puts flesh and sinews back into the bodies of these lifeless bones, these skeletons. But then it says that God said to the prophet Ezekiel, "Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army." Now this vision is obviously talking about the resurrection, but it's also talking about the renewal of the people of Israel. And we see that taking place on Pentecost, where the people of Israel that had so often been disobedient and so often turned away from the path that God had laid out for them were finally made a new people. And the fact that it's a mighty rushing wind signifies the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the tongues of fire have a significance that's a couple different meanings. One is that fire illuminates and it cleanses. It also burns and it destroys. It burns away our sins when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life. And also the tongues signify the gospel message that the apostles were being empowered to preach by the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then the fathers also say that just as when it talks about the tongues of fire being divided, and yet when they were divided, it doesn't diminish the flame. This is an image of the passing on of the Holy Spirit from the apostles to the bishops and also to each and every one of us, because there's an unbroken chain of bishops who have ordained the bishops, that have ordained the priests that we have in our church today, and those priests were given the power by the grace of the Holy Spirit to baptize and to impart the Holy Spirit to each and every one of you. And so that flame that was lighted on the day of Pentecost burns in the hearts of each and every one of us who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit through chrismation. Now, one question you might ask is, why is it that when people receive the gift of the Holy Spirit today that we don't see a mighty rushing wind, we don't see tongues of fire? Well, the fathers tell us that all of these outward manifestations were given as a sign to the Jews who were not yet believers, so that they would understand that God was behind all of these things. And then we're told, it says, "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven." Now, there were three great feasts on the calendar of the Israelites, and the law of Moses said that if it was possible, that if you were able to come to Jerusalem on one of those feasts, you were to do so. So for many Jews, it might be that only one time in their life they would make such a journey if they lived a very long ways away, whereas if they were closer, they might try to make it every time. But in any case, whenever one of these feasts occurred, you had people from all over the known world at that time. And it goes on to recount all of these people from all these various nations. And we're told that they heard the apostles speaking in their own language. Now, one thing we should understand about this, because charismatics like to talk about the gift of tongues, is that we see that the gift of tongues was a gift of speaking real languages. It wasn't just the gift of being able to babble and have nobody understand what you were saying, which is what a lot of them actually think. But these were languages that people actually spoke, and the fathers say that one of the reasons why the apostles were given this gift was because they were going to be going out into all the world and they needed to be able to communicate with all of these people. But it was also, on this occasion, it was a gift of hearing, because obviously the apostles were not speaking multiple languages at the same time, and yet all of these people were able to hear what they said in their own language. And so somehow the Holy Spirit made what they were saying understandable to these people, and they heard them speak in their own language. And it was by the providence of God that all of these people from all over the world were there. I mean, we could go back even further. If you look back at the exile was one of the most traumatic, or you might even say the most traumatic experience in the history of the Old Testament, where the Israelites were taken from their land and dispersed, taken to foreign nations, lived among foreigners. It was a very difficult thing, but God allowed it to happen not just to punish the people of Israel for their sins, but also it planted these seeds of believers in the Israelite God all over the world. And on this day, God chose this day for this miracle because he wanted these people to hear this so that they would go back to their various nations, and already you would have the beginnings of the preachings of the gospel in each one of these nations. We hear in the Kentuckian about how in the book of Genesis, when we read about the Tower of Babel, that God divided the nations. People were rebelling against God. They all were united. They all spoke one language, and God separated the nations. He divided them by confusing their languages. But here we see that God is bringing every nation into unity. He's creating a new people, the Christian nation. Therefore, in the church, there is no division. There is no separation between those of us that come from one nation or another. We are all united by that one fellowship that we have in Christ. That's that division that happened in the Old Testament, which was designed to stop the spread of evil, was undone here, because now in the church was to be the vehicle by means the grace of God was to spread throughout all the corners of the world. Amen.